present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello. Welcome once again to Just a Minute, and once again it's my pleasure to welcome these four delightful and beautiful players of the game, who of course need no introduction to you all here in the audience and the listeners at home. Once again, the rules are as before. I'm going to ask each one of them to speak in turn, if they can, for 60 seconds on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. And one of the other three may challenge if they think they're guilty of doing this. If I agree with the challenge, they will gain a point. And if I disagree with the challenge, a point will go to whoever is speaking. That's the way we play. And Sheila Hancock, will you begin this round for us? The subject is the little people. Would you talk for a minute on that, starting now?
Being 5'7.5" in my bare feet, I hate little people. When I stand next to a little person...
Derek Nimmo has challenged. Why?
Prejudice.
It's a very nice idea, Derek, but alas, it has got nothing to do with the subject, and therefore it is not a correct deviation. Sheila has a point, and there are 53 seconds left for the little people. Sheila, starting now.
The reason being, when I stand next to one of the little people, I feel tall and gawky and nasty. I want to smash the illusion that little people are frail and don't quite know how to cope with life. In fact, little people like Kenneth Williams...
Clement Freud, you've challenged. Why?
Poor little people.
Yes, we do allow people to repeat the subject matter on the card once or twice, maybe three times, but not four times. So, Clement Freud, you take over the subject of the little people with 41 seconds left, starting now.
If you were to walk into the peat bogs of County Connemara, you would invariably encounter someone with green ears or pointed head.
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Deviation. You wouldn't invariably encounter one. I've never met one. I'm always in the bogs.
Well, don't let's get filthy. This is one of those occasions where obviously I must put it to the audience. Do you think, audience, that if you were to go into the peat bogs of Connemara, you might invariably meet one of the little people? If you do, will you cheer? And if you don't think so, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? They don't think you invariably meet the little people in the bogs of Connemara. So, Derek Nimmo, you gain the subject and a point and 31 seconds left for the little people, starting now.
I once played in a pantomime at Chiswick Empire with 17 German dwarfs. It was New Year's Eve, and I invited them back to my caravan, and I gave them ordinary size glasses of gin and tonic. Whereupon...
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Deviation. You couldn't possibly get 16 dwarfs into a caravan.
Actually, it's totally true, actually.
Well, I should think, actually.
What was the pantomime?
Let us just deviate too much. I think it must be extremely uncomfortable, and especially with giving them large glasses of gin or whatever it was he gave them. But strictly speaking, he hasn't deviated from the subject, Kenneth, so well tried. Derek Nimmo keeps the subject, gains another point. There are 20 seconds left for the little people, starting now.
They became intoxicated very rapidly, which surprised me. And one called Rudolph...
Clement Freud, why did you challenge?
Deviation, why should it surprise you? You give a dwarf a huge drink.
I think that's a very clever and justified challenge. Clement Freud, you really? Say that I'm not fair. I think I'm being abundantly fair to you. Get another point. You have 16 seconds left for the little people, starting now.
Walking down Oxford Street, I once encountered a raggle-taggle queue of minute gentlemen, and I went up to their leader and said, "Would you kindly introduce me to your wife, because I'm most interested in meeting more people like you. You are the sort of people..."
Oh! Very lucky. He said people just as the whistle went. And as he was speaking when the whistle went, Clement Freud gets that extra point. I wish, listeners, you could have seen the look on his face. He didn't know what on earth he was talking about. It was a very clever way. Shows you how clever is the game. Just keeping going and saying words which make sense but don't really have anything to do with anything in particular. Well done, Clement. And Clement, will you begin the next round for us? The subject is jumbo jets. Can you talk about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
A jumbo jet has been described as Rhode Island taking off. And it is, in fact, a huge aeroplane. And what...
Derek Nimmo, you've...
Hesitation.
Hesitation. The first hesitation of this particular show. I agree. You get a point, Derek. And there are 51 and a half seconds left for jumbo jets, Derek, starting now.
It was a tremendous... tremendous set of...
You don't need to say it, Clement. You get the subject back on the same challenge and a point. And there are 50 seconds left for Jumbo Jet starting now.
Advertising this plane at the moment is a campaign saying, look big, long legs, fly Jumbo, which is an awful insult to the little people. You can imagine Henri Toulouse-Lautrec going to London Airport, for instance, and seeing this message.
Sheila Hancock, why have you challenged?
Deviation. There weren't aeroplanes when Toulouse-Lautrec was alive.
He did actually say you can imagine.
Oh, well, he might, but I can't.
So, as he wasn't strictly deviating from the subject, bad luck, Sheila. I must be fair and keep it with Clement Freud, with 35 seconds left for Jumbo Jets starting now.
What is sad about Jumbo Jets is that they're very large and very difficult to service. So the cabin staff who are in shock...
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
The fact that the aeroplane is large is not sad.
It's just a fact. It's large.
Quite agree.
Yes, I quite agree.
When Clement Freud said someone he was surprised and he wasn't, I let Clement Freud have it. I will let you have it because it is not sad.
Right.
No, I quite agree. You have a point and you have the subject, Kenneth, with 27 seconds for Jumbo Jets starting now.
The title, of course, owes its origin to the hugeness of the animal after whom it...
Why have you challenged?
Animal.
Don't be rude. We're not. We're
a
human
being.
You take it back. You're too late now. You've given it away.
Yes,
Kenneth Williams has another
point.
It is a Jumbo is a child's name for an animal. So, Kenneth, you carry on. 21 seconds left for Jumbo Jets. Start. And don't be intimidated by Clement Freud, even though he's sitting next to you. You persevere. 21 seconds, Kenneth. Jumbo Jets starting now.
And it also shares another characteristic of that creature, because they are famous for never forgetting. And this aeroplane is famous in the same...
Derek Neville, why have you challenged?
Repetition of fame.
There was a repetition of famous, alas.
Oh, well, I was having a go.
Well, you had a fairly good go, but Derek has a point, and he has 8 seconds left for Jumbo Jet starting now.
I once went to the Elephant House in Regent Park Zoo, and there I got a great Jumbo Jet right in my face, because I...
You challenge.
Deviation. I mean, obviously, if he had a Jumbo Jet in his face, he wouldn't be here today.
Well, we've only got to believe he got it. He's still here today. So, you know, seeing is believing. And alas, no, he hasn't deviated from the subject. So he gets another point. And 4 seconds left for Jumbo Jets, Derek, starting now.
And I was terribly wet, and I went round to the man with the look after the elephants, and he gave me a bun. And I said, thank you very much for the bun. This is very kind of you to say.
I'm sorry,
thank
you've been challenged. You've been challenged. You had another Jumbo Jet in your ear hole then.
Hesitation.
Hesitation.
I never talk so rapidly in my life.
I know you talk so rapidly that some of the people actually missed a sort of da 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 which Clement Freud picked up. So I must be fair and give the subject to him with 1 second left on Jumbo Jets, Clement, starting now.
The first cuff.
And Derek Neville has challenged. Why do you challenge?
Well, deviation. You couldn't possibly talk about Jumbo Jets in 1 second.
Well, as it's neck and neck, I will give Clement the point for speaking when the whistle went, and Derek a bonus point for a clever challenge. All right, that's only a fair way to do it, I think. And they're both equal, you see. It keeps the thing neck and neck at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. Kenneth, will you begin the next round for us? A subject, I'm sure, entirely
about
up your street.
About time I had something satisfying.
Well, I know you're going to flow eruditely on this one.
Yes.
Bernard Shaw. Would you speak for 60 seconds on him, starting now?
It is not generally known that this very...
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
Well, it's ridiculous. You can't speak eruditely on Bernard Shaw for 1 minute.
You listen to Kenneth Williams. He's got another point.
I want to...
There are 53 seconds
Isn't
left.
Isn't that a clever challenge? It was a clever challenge just now.
You didn't make it before.
Kenneth Williams, you have 53 seconds for Bernard Shaw, starting now.
He wrote several novels, a half dozen actually, before he achieved any success, and that was not with the same thing. It was, of course, with playwriting, and during his period as an alderman of the vestry of St. Pancras, he was up 6:30 in the morning to write...
Sheila Hancock, you have challenged.
Oh, it's deep. Deviation. I don't believe you.
He was the alderman of the vestry, yes, he was. Bernard Shaw was.
The alderman of the mistress. Yes. Pank was up at 6:30.
Yes,
I mean.
He was.
I don't know about her. I don't know. Are you challenging on? I'd like to know, Sheila, are you challenging on the petticoat up at 6:30 or that he was an alderman of the vestry?
Deviation. I don't think Bernard Shaw ever got up at 6:30.
Which platform?
I'm sure he many times got up at 6:30. Yeah,
she don't know nothing for nothing, anyway.
What have you challenged for, Derek?
Nothing from nothing,
really. Nothing from nothing. Sheila, Kenneth Williams has a point because he was an alderman in the vestry, and the 35 seconds left for Bernard Shaw, Kenneth, starting now.
Began so early in the morning that even Mrs. Patrick Campbell was heard to exclaim, "Your eyes are so far apart, I think I'll have to take a taxi." She had to do that. Then, of course, came the great success of Pygmalion, which, as we all know, took London audiences by surprise when that famous epithet was uttered, not something like... Well, I won't say it.
Sheila Hancock, you've challenged. Why?
Deviation. It wasn't not something like...
No, but I wasn't saying the word because it's rude.
Well, if you lead yourself into that impossible situation, Kenneth, I'm afraid you'll lose a point, at least the other way around. Sheila, for challenging...
I was just trying to behave like a gentleman, that's all.
Well, we all suffer in this game. I mean, Clement's smarting because I gave a jumbo jet in 1 second to Derek Nimmo. He'll be upset in a minute because I've given something to Clement for...
You're upset
at the moment. Sheila Hancock is not upset at the moment because she has the subject, and there are 9 seconds left for Bernard Shaw. Sheila, starting now.
One of the things this gentleman was famous for was his correspondences with various actresses. Ellen Tech...
Clement Freud challenge. Hesitation, yes. Everybody challenged at once, but Clement Freud's light went on first, so he gains the point and the subject. 4 seconds. Bernard Shaw, Clement, starting now.
Bernard Shaw said that if you hit yourself on the head with a book and... Put... Can I go on?
Clement Freud...
It was a nice thing that he said. I just thought they ought to hear it.
Yes, I'm sure they must. I mean, we'd all love to hear it.
Shaw said, if you hit yourself on the head with a book and perceive a hollow sound, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's nothing in the book.
Sheila Hancock, it's your turn to begin the next round. The subject is keeping the peace. Can you talk about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
This is something upon which I am an expert. At home, I have a cupboard full of pieces of crockery, and it is a result of having kept the peace when I've broken something, with the idea that eventually I should mend it. One day, I'm going to put all these pieces together and make one huge pot of different assorted fragments. Another way of keeping the peace is between children when they are squabbling, and the thing to do is to lock one in the lavatory and one in the outhouse and not say anything to them. And backstage, before we come on, Clem Freud does a good job between Kenneth Williams and I, but we are inclined to come to blows. However, I love him very much, and in the end, I don't hurt him because he is a nice little fella. I have also...
Clem Freud, you're shocked.
Hesitation.
The most ungallant challenge
yes,
of the
you're
show.
Yes, you're so right. Yes.
Alas, as chairman, I have to be fair and say it was a hesitation. So Clement Freud has a point and takes the subject with 8 seconds left for keeping the peace, starting now.
Keeping the peace is something I used to do a great deal when I was a Boy Scout. I was a peewit, and my best...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Deviation. Peewit.
Why?
Well, it's deviation.
Yeah. Yeah. He might be, might have been a brownie or something, which, not a brownie, I mean, a cub.
No,
when his troop deviation. Might have been the peewits, were they?
Yes. Yes.
Well, look, I'm afraid there seems to be a great feeling of disbelief here. If you think that Clement Freud...
No, he was a peewit. I mean,
He'd actually come to think of it, he does look rather like a peewit.
Sorry, On his scout's honour, he's told us that he was a peewit once. So there we are. Clement, you keep the subject and another point, and you have 2 seconds left for keeping the peace, starting now.
We marched onto Hampstead Heath bearing...
And peewits and the whistle going as he was speaking gave Clement Freud two more points. And Clement, it's your turn to begin the next round. The subject is the perfect breakfast. Will you speak about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Ideally, the perfect breakfast should follow the perfect dinner. On the morning after the meal, you arise...
Kenneth Williams, Michael Chapman.
Hesitation.
Yes, I quite agree. He was getting. He was searching for his perfect breakfast. So, Kenneth, you have a point and the subject with 52 and a half seconds left for the perfect breakfast starting now.
Taken in a thoroughly relaxed atmosphere, it should begin with cereals and fresh, clear, cool milk. And then, of course, the deviled kidneys. What could be more delectable than to see that plate full of these fried eggs and crisp bacon? The aroma itself, oh, it really gets me going. Oh, I'm throbbing there when I smell it, you know. And the crisp toast, of course.
Clement Freud, you challenge. Why?
Crisp.
Yes, we've had crisp before. We had crisp bacon. Now we've got crisp toast. I must say it was an object lesson, Kenneth, in how to keep going without stopping and making
well,
your work.
I was trying to elongate my vowel.
I know you, and you achieved it too. So elongated.
I'm hanging it out a bit. I must admit.
Anyway. But you couldn't have two crisps. So, Clement has a point and the subject. The perfect breakfast, 17 seconds left, starting now.
A kipper fillet is something that one should not be without. Ideally, the herring is smoked over chips of oak, hung up in a chimney, and they're then taken down after...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Well, he's describing how to cook a kipper or smoke or cure a kipper, but not talking about a perfect breakfast.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so therefore, he deviates.
It's very difficult because, you see, he did establish he was going to have this particular food for his breakfast, and he went on to say how he felt it would be most perfectly done. So he wasn't really deviating from the subject. I will put this one definitely to the audience. If you think that Clement Freud was deviating and you agree with Derek's challenge, will you cheer? If you disagree with his challenge, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? Equal. No points scored. Clement Freud continues with the subject. 4 seconds to go for the perfect breakfast, starting now.
Haddock is also essential.
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Well, deviation, because they can't both be essential. And haddock.
I don't think they're both essential.
For a perfect breakfast, you wouldn't have two fish courses.
Yes, no,
The perfect breakfast?
Yes.
In your opinion, but yes, not in Derek Nimmo's, and I have to make the judgment. And in this case, I give it to Derek Nimmo. 1 second left, Derek, starting now.
Grapefruit juice and croissant.
That's challenge.
It is impossible, deviation, to talk about the perfect breakfast in 1 second.
Exactly, so you've got a point. All right, we have established that. I'm going to do that. I did it before, so Sheila Hancock has a point. Course. And yeah, there's half a second left for the perfect breakfast, Sheila, starting now.
I like...
and Sheila was speaking as the whistle. Clement Freud is still in the lead in this needle match, and Kenneth Williams is going to begin the next round, and the subject is fibs. I have told. You are looking very nonplussed. You obviously want time, a second to think. You've had your second. Will you go on fibs, I have told, Kenneth, starting now?
There are so many that I would really be hard put to it to single out one instantly.
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
Well, a number of reasons. Hesitation.
Rubbish. It wasn't hesitation. There's no hesitation there.
You went as slow as it's possible to
well,
go
that's
without
not hesitation.
Coming. I know, but there must come a time when you cannot elongate your vowels to such an extent.
And leave it hanging out.
Where does elongation not become important? All right, I will do it this way. Out of fairness, I will say, if you elongate any more than that, it'll be hesitation next time. Please carry on. With fibs, I have told, not to elongated vowels. 52 seconds, starting now.
A notable one was when I was being attacked by a huge burly brute in Ceylon. All right, I said, hit me if you want to hit a man with plastic legs. Well, he drew back, obviously surprised, and he obviously too felt... Oh, obviously...
Don't hit Clement Freud. Derek Nimmo challenged you first. Yes, a repetition of obviously. Derek, you take over the subject of fibs, I have told, but there are 34 seconds left, starting now.
I once told a fisherman in Norfolk that I was the Duke of Somerset. This surprised him, and he took me out for a long sail in his ship. And I got onto the boat, and the most extraordinary thing happened. The wind blew up.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Deviation. He's begun with a ship and it's now become a boat.
Well, you can't repeat it.
What was that?
You can't repeat the thing.
No, you can't repeat it. And after all,
it could have been a vessel. For a ship to
then you'll
a
say, why has his ship became a vessel? Sometimes, you know, sometimes real seagoing people do refer to their ships as boats. And I've heard them even talk about the Queen Elizabeth as a boat. So this is shipping parlance. And
I thought it was a very good challenge of Kenneth.
I know you did, because you're on his side, and you're only one point. You're equal with Derek Nimmo, so it's a needle match. And it's very difficult to judge, especially when you try to bribe me. Derek, I'm with you. You gain a point, and there are 19 seconds left for fibs I have told, starting now.
Going to a greengrocer's in Halifax, I said, are those peas? And the man said, why do you say that when you see quite obviously they're beans? I said, I want to tell you a fib. He said, why? Now, I said, it's curious that you should ask me this, because as I was wandering along the street round the corner, two but four from the left, I thought, why can't I go?
As Derek was speaking then, when the whistle went, he gains another point, and he has a lead of one at the end of that round over Clement Freud, and Sheila and Kenneth are in third place together. Derek, it's your turn to begin the next round, and the subject is what I shall leave out of my autobiography. And I can tell you right away, I'll leave a few of those fibs out for a start. Anyway, 60 seconds starting now.
I shall leave out from my autobiography any suggestions.
Sheila Hancock, your challenge.
Whatever hesitation.
Yes,
autobiography.
I'm afraid it's probably going to be the last round, and obviously all going to be tough, so I have to be tough with you here, Derek. Yeah. Sheila has a point. There are 55 seconds left for what I shall leave out of my autobiography, Sheila, starting now.
I shall definitely leave out my early life, because it is the part of a biography that I always skip. I find it...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Well, the subject is autobiography, not biography.
Did she say biography?
Yes,
I did. She said biography.
Yes, I did.
But it's deviation. Still correct.
All right, he can have it because I don't want to say what I'm going to
do. It's still not deviating from the subject.
Well, it's a different subject. An autobiography is written by the person who
Yes, but she might have been going on to say what I shall leave out of my biography has got nothing to do with what I shall leave out of my autobiography. We don't know. I mean, it's not actually deviating from the subject. She didn't say it, but we weren't to know.
But I was talking...
Sheila has a point, and there are 47 seconds left for what I shall leave out of my autobiography, Sheila, starting now.
I shall also definitely leave out the fact that I played in a game called Just a Minute, because sometimes it got very ugly. People like Derek Nimmo were incredibly cruel to me.
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Deviation.
Why?
There are no people like Derek Nimmo.
I'm sure in this world there's some charming, there's some delightful people, there's some intelligent people. They may not all have it in the same package as Derek Nimmo, but there must be some people like Derek Nimmo. So Sheila has another point, and she continues with what I shall leave out of my autobiography. 39 seconds left, starting now.
In fact, I shall be pretty hard pushed to find anything that I can put in my autobiography. I may put the incident when...
Clement Freud, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, she did actually hesitate, and I was tough before, so I'll have to be tough again, Sheila, I'm sorry. 17 seconds for what I shall leave out of my autobiography starting now.
I shall not mention Londonderry and all the...
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. I agree. 12 seconds left, starting now.
I shall leave out of my autobiography the time that I spent in a monastery in Cyprus, because there I found out all sorts of extraordinary things about the sacred mushroom. There they were...
Well, I'm afraid that is all we have time for in this particular game of Just a Minute. As you realize, it was a needle match, because 1 minute Derek was leading Clement by a point, and then a minute or second or two later, it was the reversed. Well, at the final spurt, Derek got that extra point when the whistle went on that last subject, so it gives him a lead of one. So by 1 point over Clement Freud in second place, Sheila Hancock and Kenneth Williams equal in third place, our winner this week by 1 point, Derek Nimmo. Say it was almost a moral draw, because they were so neck and neck. Anyway, we do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.